Holy Wit!
What did you just say?
Holy Wit, a podcast for warriors in training.
As I promised, Cam is back this week after 2 weeks away.
2 weeks of not hearing me.
Did you miss him?
You're like, oh, was he away? No. Just kidding. Yeah, so I was away. Well, you were talking to Marcy both times about conflict resolution.
That is correct.
And again, we encourage you, if you have not heard those, go back and listen. In fact, the last five podcasts have been in regards to a set of sessions that we have called Broken Branches. And we've kind of taken you briefly through each one of those to give you a sample or an idea of what each one looks like. And Broken Branches is actually a total of six modules.
Eight modules.
And so the last module is very visual, right, Steph?
It is very visual. In order to really capture the essence of the line that we've been searching, which if I was to prompt your memory or prod your memory, it started off with Paul's letter to Titus. Warn a divisive person once, warn him a second time, and after that have nothing to do with it, which if you recall, that portion of scripture was really bothersome to me. And what began this whole journey of broken branches. And in that, the search was, where is the line? Mm-hmm. Where is the line to kicking somebody out of community? What does that look like? And so the final session, you know, through the inspiration of Holy Spirit, wraps up really nicely and gives a lot to think about. However, I didn't feel that discussing it on a podcast does it justice and really captures the essence, as I previously said, because there's so much visual to it when we go into what pruning of a tree looks like.
Yes.
And for you to imagine what that looks like, just the whole process that a gardener goes through. And when Jesus said in John, where he said, my Father is the gardener, I am the vine. You know, we take a lot of time and we dig deep into that. And I just don't feel like it would do you as the listener justice. But what I will say is that if what you heard so far has intrigued you, has challenged you, and you want to take the whole thing, because again, we're not talking about all that we go through.
No.
In Broken Branches. We're really talking about the highlights of it. Perhaps what I think is a highlight, you may feel is a low light, and vice versa. But to really capture the journey that is Broken Branches, I would encourage you to contact us. And whether it's two or more, doesn't matter. We'll take you through it.
Yeah. Yeah. And in the days of COVID, we can take you through that virtually as well, if that's better.
Take you through it on Zoom. I get the questions going and then I leave you to discuss it. Yeah. I present you the material and then I don't want to be part of the discussion.
Yeah.
That's for you and your group to discuss, unless you want me a part of it. Either way, it doesn't, you know, it works.
Yeah. So in the show notes, we will put the link to contacting us in regards to going through Broken Branches. But this week, we actually want to move on and talk about what's love got to do with it?
And what's it?
Oh, I thought that was a song.
It is.
Who sang that song? I think
Tina Turner. But, you know, there's so many songs from the 80s that talk about questions about love. You know, yeah. I want Foreigner saying, I want to know what love is. And Tina Turner, of course, famously, what's love got to do with it? And Heart, the band Heart had, it's escaped me now, but I know that they had a Will You Love Me in the Morning?
Right.
Right. All those.
All talking about
all those
love.
Ballads about love and fantasy. And
yeah, the 80s was ripe with all those songs.
Oh, that's what made it so great.
Different kind of love, though.
It is truly a different kind of love.
So if we talk about what's love got to do with it, then what is the it?
Well, the it is what I struggled with in including it in Broken Branches. And it is conflict. What's love got to do with conflict?
Yeah, those two don't seem to go together.
Right? It seems like more of an oxymoron than conflict resolution.
Unless you love conflict.
Well, who loves conflict?
Yeah, nobody.
Unless you're Donald Trump. Oops, did I say his name? Unless you're like somebody who's argumentative, then conflict would be, you know, your gold.
Yeah, your currency.
Right.
Yeah. But in that, what does love have to do with conflict?
Well, if you think about it, why are we in conflict? Like in the book of James, he talks about, why do you fight? Why do you quarrel with each other? But he says it's because you don't get what you ask. You don't get what you want. Mm-hmm. So you fight and you quarrel. But what is it that we really want? Deep down, everybody wants to be loved.
Yes.
And they want that love to be consistent. They want it to be faithful. They want it to be present. They want it to be like God describes himself as love in the scriptures. God is love, and love never fails. However, when we read what's in scripture and we look around what's around, like in our real lives today, love fails. If love is not supposed to fail, why does it? When we look at what James is saying, you fight and quarrel because you do not have. And what we are missing is love. And so when conflict comes up, we know conflict to be the ends of a relationship. If we're to engage in conflict, it's not going to end well because it gets messy. And how do we recover from messy? Because we as Christians are supposed to present ourselves, or so we think, mm-hmm. in a certain manner of relationship. And if we're anything less, then how in the world can we come back to that relationship after somebody has seen the ugly side or an unattractive side of us? How do we come back? And I want to suggest to you that that's not love, that we haven't been taught what love is. What we've been taught is a very common love, a love in common interest.
Right.
So what that means is that it's that phileo love. We gather out of what's common. We gather with like-minded people, whether you're inside the church or outside the church, but I'm talking about inside the church, inside the body of Christ. And I'm not talking about the corporate body to a point, but I'm mostly talking about the body of Christ as a whole. It comprised of all these individuals that we gather out of common interests. So you meet somebody who loves to talk about scripture, you're going to love to get together with them,
mm-hmm.
because of that common interest. You challenge each other based on how deep you're going. Are you going back to the original language, perhaps the culture, and how do you bring that forward and apply it to your life? And you're around people that love those kind of conversations, and you challenge each other. So you've got all these good emotions going back and forth, but it's all around that discussion of scripture.
Right.
So you take that away and you put those same people in a social setting, you're going to find that you don't have much of anything in common.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're going to question, I don't really know if I really have anything in common with this person. And then, you know, that you start to stray far further and further away from that common interest. And then the love goes.
Yeah.
Even though while you were talking and debating about things of scripture that really get you going and really get you fired up in a good way, that you may have felt that this was a fellow brother or fellow sister in Christ, and you start to think of each other in family context. But then, as I said, you take that away and you put them in a social setting. Hey, come on over for Thanksgiving dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to have this group of other people, saved and unsaved, in my house. And suddenly it's awkward. But nobody's talking about why it's awkward. So instead, distance is created in the relationship. That love failed because it wasn't recognized, or there was no recognition of what that relationship was about.
Yeah. I guess in that I would ask, so when that common interest is taken away, and you start to feel that way, is that perceived as conflict?
Well, it's an offense, is mm-hmm. it not?
Yeah.
So conflict comes because somebody's offended. So I'm offended. Why am I offended? You know, It could be because I didn't have you to myself to have these conversations. The other people were around and I couldn't engage in that conversation. It really causes me to enjoy your company, but I'm around these people and I don't enjoy you in this setting.
Yeah, you brought me into a situation where I'm uncomfortable.
I see you as very surface and pseudo, and that makes me uncomfortable because I know how deep you can be. So I'm not liking this kind of thing. And that's just an example.
Yeah.
And then you start to pull away. It could be, think of what's common. Think of what's happened this last year with doors of the churches being closed down or even, being closed or limited.
Yeah.
You take, and then certain ministries are closed because there's no way to hold them online, that these gatherings are meant to be in person. You take what's common away, and it's not a bad thing to gather from what's common. I think we need to start somewhere in relationships. So we gather with like-minded people and we love each other out of common interest, but we're not really loving each other. We're loving what's common.
Right.
So we go to a certain church. We love everybody in that church that we know. And it's right to say that, but you need to understand is that you love the church because it's common. You don't necessarily love the person. So going back, I always go back to the conversation Jesus had with Peter. Jesus' first question with Peter was, Peter, do you love me? And Peter said, Lord, you know, I'm your friend. And if I was in that place, I'd be like, that's not what I was asking you. I didn't ask if you're my friend. Peter, do you love me?
Yeah.
I don't know what other answer you're looking for, Lord. You know that I love you. You know you're my friend.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jesus finally asks him with the third question, Peter, do you love me? And Peter was upset, says he was grieved. And he said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. But where we see love, we read it in English, it's one word. When we read it in the original language, it's actually three different words.
Yeah.
And so it was, Peter, do you love me? The first question was from an authoritative love. Like we love our parents because we know that they're not going to harm us, that they're going to lead us in a certain way. We love our bosses, perhaps. Some of you who might have a good relationship with your bosses, you love them because they're good to you.
Yeah.
And you can trust them and they're looking out for you.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're going to serve them. That's the kind of king that Israel was asking for. Well, that's the kind of king that God told Israel that he would be.
Yes.
But not the kind of king that they actually got.
Right.
Because they rejected God as king. But God is like, this is the kind of agape love I'm going to have for you as an overseer.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Peter was asking him. Do you love me as your king? And Peter's response was, Lord, you know that I love you as you're my friend. So you can see that there'd be potential conflict in that.
Right.
Jesus is saying, I'm your king. Do you love me? And he goes, you're my friend. And no, I didn't ask you if I was your friend. I asked you if I was your king.
Yeah.
So you can see where that would potentially rub the wrong way.
Yeah.
But Jesus didn't let that rub him the wrong way. He didn't take offense to what Peter's comment was.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, he probed him deeper.
Yeah.
And said, Peter, do you love me? And again, Peter responds with the same, you know, you're my friend. Phileo love, common interest, brotherly love. You know, you know, you're my friend. And that question Jesus was saying was that form of love in that question was agapeo, which is the action word, the action form of agape. And it's love in action.
Right.
And it's outside of social norms. It's outside of obligation. That kind of love is outside of fluctuating emotions. It doesn't matter how your emotions fluctuate. That love is still consistent. It's faithful. It's loyal. It doesn't go away. And that is that kind of love captures the essence of the word love, where we read in scripture, God is love.
Mm.
Love never fails. That's the kind of love that they're talking about. That kind of love does not fail. But we don't get to that kind of love because we're taught that phileo love, brotherly love, is what we're supposed to have for each other.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not too often that we go beyond that common interest.
Yeah.
Where agapeo love is love in best interest. It's not just for the individual, it's for the relationship. And the relationship involves two people, at least two people. But that's the kind of love that we're to have. But again, Peter responds to Jesus as, you know, I'm your friend.
Yeah.
So again, you could see the potential conflict there, the potential offense there that could have happened between the two had Jesus allowed it, had Jesus picked it up as an offense and was offended that Jesus loves Peter like this. He loves him, his love for Peter's action. I'm going to go die on the cross for you.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be resurrected and make a way for you to have intimacy with me, through me, with my Father.
Yeah.
Right. But Peter wasn't getting it. Mm-hmm. And we criticize Peter for not getting it.
Yeah.
But we're not getting it either. I'm not saying everybody's not getting it. There's a lot of people that do get it. I'm saying the majority of us are not getting it. So instead of taking that up, instead of being offended, going, I loved you this way, and what, you can't return it? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm about to go through this horrific thing on the cross, beaten to shreds of my flesh, and all you can say is, I'm your friend.
Yeah.
But Jesus doesn't allow that to offend him. So he ends up asking him the last question, Peter, do you love me? To match Peter's question. So his final third question, Peter, do you love me? Is, Peter, am I your friend? And Peter answered, yes, Lord, you know that I'm your friend. So Jesus was bringing his question down to align with Peter's answer.
Yeah, to his level.
But in that, it left room. It didn't get all awkward and all emotional through trying to resolve a conflict.
Yeah.
Because Jesus loved Peter differently than Peter realized that he loved Jesus. Mm-hmm. We learned 30 years later that Peter got it through his letter in 1 Peter. Mm-hmm. We can see then that he got it. But until then, that was the question. Peter, do you love me? And Jesus ended it with, you know, I'm your friend. Or do you love me as a friend? And Peter said, yes. You know, I love you as a friend. So therefore, Jesus already knew that he has the capacity, that Peter had the capacity to love him as he's supposed to.
Yeah.
Not supposed to, but as how God wants us to.
Mm-hmm.
And in that, like I said, it removed the awkwardness. There was no need to fight and quarrel because Jesus understood Peter. And I think that's important for us to understand, is that the person in the relationship who seems to have more of a capacity for love, instead of getting offended and hurt that the other person that you're loving doesn't love you the same way, to understand what their capacity is right there. And I think a lot of times our conflict and offenses would fall away. We'd be able to lay down those offenses and let those conflicts fall off because we are understanding each other when we think of, and when we can think of conflict as not promoting my side of it, as we talked about with Marcy in the last 2 weeks, but rather sitting down to understand each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. That's important, that seeking first to understand. I think too, as you're talking, the love, the common interest love, seems to be very self-focused.
But it's a step above self-focus. So we have the flesh love.
Yeah.
Right. So I'm loving you because it's advantageous for me to do so.
Right. And that's very selfish.
It's very selfish. Well, it's self-promoting. Right. Yeah. And, you know, we can say that in networking. We network with many people because they have access to doors that can be opened for us. So we love them.
Yeah. Like you're talking earlier about if you're a rock band or a band on the stage or a singer.
Mm-hmm.
You love the audience. Why? Because you don't know them, but you love them because it's advantageous. They're supporting, they're buying tickets, they're buying your music, they're supporting you as an artist.
Right. And when I first started to really dig into what love is and what love has to do with it being conflict, I'm listening to this other podcast because I do enjoy the TV show The Office. And so I'm enjoying The Office Ladies podcast, where they take you through episode by episode. And at the end of it, that lady that plays Angela says, she goes, I love you, or love y'all. Mm-hmm. And at first I was like, you can't say that. You don't even know me.
Yeah.
But as I got into the different kinds of love, she's perfectly right to say that she loves us, even though she's never met us, that fleshly love does not depend on relationship. It's that good feeling that I get because I know that you are one of the, that you occupy one of the numbers of the followers on my podcast.
Right.
So I love you for it, but I'm never going to know who you are.
Yeah.
It's very much advantageous for me to love you. So it's a right, it's right in that context.
Yeah. And it's good to understand that that's the context.
Because, that's what I'm saying.
Because if I were then to contact her say on social media and she didn't respond or didn't she respond the way I thought, if I'm not her her best friend, who I now I think I am because she said she loved me at the end of a podcast, then there's where conflict comes in because my expectations are different than her expectations.
Right.
And that's where a lot of times where conflict comes in is a different level of expectation.
Right. And so then if we really know the person, if we love them in the agape or the love in action, then we're interested in getting to know each other.
Yeah.
That's where we, you know, we have what's common and that's great.
Mm-hmm.
And of course that builds and that grows and we know it builds and grows because when that common thing is taken away and the person is still there, then you know that the relationship can go further.
Yeah.
And so in that, now you're getting to know each other.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times conflict comes from misunderstanding.
Yep.
And I think the root of that misunderstanding comes down to the level of love that you have for each other.
Right.
As I said earlier, between Peter and Jesus, his love was different than Peter's love.
Yeah.
But we don't go there, or maybe we don't realize it. But I'd like to challenge anybody who listens to it, and I've been talking a lot about this lately, saying test this theory, because at this point it is just that, a theory. I want to test the theory that if we can recognize what love we have in a relationship, what does that do with the conflict? What does that do with our offense? How easily are we offended? If we understand the love going back and forth, and if we really get to know each other, then maybe it's the frequency of being misunderstood and saying things that are taken the wrong way become less because we have that better understanding of each other.
Yeah. Yeah. It's if that, yeah, the offense tends to subside when we know the other person more.
Well, that's where the scripture comes to life. It is to a man's glory to overlook an offense.
Yeah. Yeah, we can't be so easily offended, especially nowadays, where everything seems to be an offense to people.
Yeah, you say the wrong word, and suddenly somebody somewhere is offended.
Or wants to cancel you.
And it could be from a fleeting comment that had nothing to do with the person who got offended. It wasn't even meant for their ears.
Right, but they read it somewhere or saw it on social media, and they become offended because, again, there is no common love there.
But here's this, you bring up a very good point. If you're talking to somebody, or if somebody's talking to you about me, actually, this brings up a memory that I had at this one place that I worked, where one of the guys came in to my office, and he started telling me about a conversation that he allegedly had with you, and saying how you said these pretty dishonoring and horrific things about me. And I remember saying to him, say that again, giving him the opportunity to correct himself.
Yeah.
And he didn't. And so what I did was I picked up my phone and I called you and I put you on speakerphone. And I said to this guy, you want to repeat what you said that Cam told you about me?
Mm-hmm.
And he got really mad.
Right.
And he goes, I was joking. I'm like, that's not a joke. You don't joke about that.
Right.
But if I was insecure about our relationship, and suspected that these are the things that you would be saying about me, then I would take offense. This person would cause me to be offended by you.
Yeah.
Third-hand information instead of going, no, I know who you are.
Right.
And I know that these things you wouldn't say about me.
Yeah. So you challenge the lie.
And I've heard this often from people as I'm learning more and more about engaging with different people at different levels of relationship, that to think, to give the person the benefit of the doubt first. But I think it comes down to, again, it. What's love got to do with it? Because if we only know each other out of a common interest, then we're really not going to be in tune to your motivations.
Right. Yeah.
We're not really going to know if you have the tendency to cut people down behind their backs.
Yeah.
So what are you saying about me
mm-hmm.
behind my back? And then that could cause conflict in its own, because now I'm offended.
Yeah.
And I'm either going to avoid it or I'm going to confront it.
Yeah.
Either way, it's not healthy.
Right.
In that manner.
Yeah.
I'm saying conflict resolution is a healthy thing, but I'm saying in that matter, if we avoid it and then we decide to confront it
mm-hmm.
when your emotions are high.
Yeah.
And you don't really understand where that relationship is
mm-hmm.
or where it's at, that's where it gets messy.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
If I understand you, if I know you,
mm-hmm.
then I'm going to give you the benefit. Then I'm either going to do what I did with this guy at work and say, you don't get to do that.
Yeah. Things of like marriage, where there may be that common interest at first.
You both want to get married and have kids. There's your common interest.
Right.
Right.
And then your kids are you know, they're there, they grow up, they eventually move out, and all of a sudden you don't seem like you have much in common anymore. That empty nest syndrome,
mm-hmm.
they say, right? Because all of a sudden you had all these common interests and you kind of went through it at that level of love. But if you didn't grow that love well during that time, one-on-one, husband and wife, then when that happens, when that common interest has now been removed, it becomes who are you?
The empty nest syndrome.
Yeah. And then conflict can arise, or can start to arise before the kids are gone. But
for sure,
it starts to arise because all of a sudden now there's no longer that commonality keeping you together, and you haven't developed a deeper love for the person.
Well, your relationship lacks that stability.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's why I think, you know, Jesus, right, there are scripture commands, right? Husbands, love your wives. Because, you know, as men, we need to be the ones that instigate that. And that's not a selfish love. Like we're talking about, that's
that love that never quits.
Yeah.
Yeah. Love your, because it says love your wives as Christ loves the church.
Right. So if Jesus loved the church.
Yeah.
The way he did sacrificially.
Mm-hmm.
And as he talked to Peter, and we see all the way through, then if we're to love that same level,
mm-hmm.
and that requires us to go deeper.
Yeah.
Develop that. Yeah, that's a cool thought.
It's very cool. And so, like I said, it's a theory that I'm testing, and I'm encouraging everyone who listens to this to test in your own lives. That, you know, take a pen and a piece of paper and write down the names of people that you have conflict with.
Yeah.
Right now. And then write down how do you love them? Do you love them out of the flesh because it's advantageous for you, mm-hmm. that it's all you?
Yeah.
That you're the one receiving and not giving because it's all about you and your needs. Is that the kind of love? Then be honest about it.
Yeah.
And write it down. Do you love them because it's common? Because you have things in common,
mm-hmm.
you know, whether you like cycling or playing golf or, you know, like sports is a big thing. I love my basketball team. And I'm right to say that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't, it's not that I love each person individually out of their own best interest.
Yeah.
Or out what's best for them. I love them because we can play basketball and we're highly competitive.
Yeah.
And we love it. But you take the basketball away, what's left?
Mm-hmm.
Not much. So if that's where your relationship is and the common interest, well, I can't wait. Like I know of a lady who couldn't wait for the opportunity to enter back into a program in her church.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then she left the rest of the girls behind because she wanted to re-engage in what was common.
Mm-hmm.
Right. In the meantime, during that period of time that common place was not accessible, she didn't keep in touch with much of it, with anybody that was part of it. But now that the doors are open, and it's a good thing to go back to that common place. in a sense, it's good to go back to that commonplace. We need that commonplace to start. Mm-hmm. But we need to recognize that there's so much more beyond the common, and it turns into the best interest. And this is where we want to be known. We want to be loved for who we are, for all of our misgivings and everything.
Yeah.
And we want to love you for all your misgivings,
mm-hmm.
and everything that you are.
Yeah.
But we don't, how often do we get there?
Well, yeah, right. Because again, it's not always top of mind.
It's not top of mind because we're taught that agape love is between a husband and wife. It's a love that a husband and wife has, and it's mm-hmm. wrong. That's only a small part of it. Not that it's wrong. It's just a small part of it. There's so much more to that kind of love, because that's where we get agapeo love from, which is the action of agape. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Love. And it's, and when we boil it all down, that's God's essence. That's his, the essence to his character is that kind of love.
And that's what we strive for. That's what we work towards.
That's what we want to have for each other. And that's when that's when the scriptures come alive. And if we can get there, then we will see love never failing, love never quitting.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. Well, there's your challenge for the week. Write down those people who you currently have conflict with and go through those steps, the stuff described, and just see where you're at with them. And start to look at, you know, what does love have to do with each of those conflicts?
Right. So is it something that needs to be resolved, or is it something that you're going to let fall away?
Yeah.
Not in an avoidance, but fall away because it's not, because you're at a different place of loving than they are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So try that. Let us know. Message us. Send us an email. Tell us what's up with your life. We would love to hear from you. And we will look forward to hearing from you in that area, or in regards to, as a reminder, to go to the website and tell us that you want to know more about Broken Branches. And we will get back to you. Have a great week.